From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. It's been 2.5 weeks since the siege on the Capitol took place in Washington, D.C. It left 5 people dead and a country reeling in its wake. Following the events, law enforcement agencies promised swift and thorough investigations of all involved. And as of today, the FBI has opened more than 200 cases and arrested more than 100 people connected with the events of that day. Details have emerged about some of the individuals involved. Among those arrested are at least 5 Illinoisans, including a now former CEO and a military veteran. It was a varied group of people that mobbed the Capitol. Joining us now to talk more about this is John Seidel, federal courts reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times. He's been covering some of the Illinoisans who have been arrested in connection with the Capitol siege. John, welcome back to the 21st. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. Happy to help.
Listeners, we want to invite you into our conversation. Our phone lines are open at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. If you have any questions about people arrested in the Capitol siege, or you just want to talk about it, the ongoing investigation there, where you think things should go, give us a call, 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. You can also tweet us at 21st Show. So, John, there have been, as I mentioned, a handful of Illinoisans who have now been arrested and charged in the Capitol riots, especially from the Chicago area. Before we get into some of the specific cases and people, is there a sort of a general category? What do we know about the sort of people that have been arrested and charged? Are there patterns we're seeing?
Well, as far as a pattern, you're right, as you mentioned before, there's kind of a large swath of people, from a guy who appears to be a HVAC repairman to a now former CEO of a suburban marketing company. One thing that we're seeing among them, as well as a lot of the people in this initial round of charges, is that a lot of them made it fairly easy for law enforcement to charge them, putting things out on Instagram or things like that. And again, you're seeing that across the board, as you would expect. I think the more serious charges will come later.
So one of the individuals to be charged was named, and correct me if I'm wrong on the pronunciation here, but Bradley Ruxtalis. He was arrested and charged with, quote, knowingly entering or remaining in any restricted building or grounds without lawful authority, plus one count of violent entry and disorderly conduct on Capitol grounds. And later he was fired from his position as a CEO at a marketing company based in Schaumburg. What can you tell us about his case and what charges right. he's facing?
Sure. Yeah. No, I think you're correct on the charges there. And he was actually one of the first people federally charged. I think he might have been the first person federally charged from Illinois as part of the Capitol riot. And he was the CEO of a marketing firm, I believe, called Cogencia in Schaumburg. And according to the record of what happened so far, it sounds like he was part of a kind of an unruly group of people inside the Capitol. And I obviously they were all unruly, but you know, the actions that were attributed to this group were throwing chairs, making yelling profanity at police officers. There was some allegation, I believe, as far as like throwing some unknown substance at officers. But the bottom line is that he was at the front of this group of people, along with others allegedly, and they were told to leave and they refused to do so. And that's what led to them being criminally charged. So he's charged with a group of people. He's been released. I believe there was no objection to the government to him being released. And when he came home, there were some reporters who went to his home, and he did, I think, at least one on-camera interview and said that he regretted doing this. And he released a statement basically calling that it denouncing the violence and calling it poor judgment on his part, I guess. But again, I point out, according to the charges, he was inside the building and refusing to leave when officers told him to.
And you know, you mentioned criminal charges for Bradley Ruxtalis, but I mean, there are consequences for those that are not necessarily in the courtroom, right? This happens in the court of public opinion. We saw, I mean, he lost his job, but there was another Chicagoan named apparently Libby Andrews, who is a real estate agent, has not been arrested, but her company At Properties fired her after she posted selfies and photos of being in the crowd.
Yeah, that's my understanding. And so she hasn't been so much part of my work, sure, just because she hasn't been criminally charged. But you're right. I think she was one of the ones who advertised that she was there, and At Properties decided that they did not want to be associated with what she did. And so, yes, she faced some consequences outside of the court of law, just like Mr. Rick Stallings has.
Yeah, I think I read she told Cranes that she went there to support my president and never saw anything destructive taking place, unquote. But there was another social media post that came out that showed her with a glass of champagne and the caption, "After storming the Capitol, a good glass of champagne is needed." I mean, are we seeing other sort of social consequences for people involved in these, even if they're not necessarily criminally charged or in addition to criminal charges?
I mean, I think in general we have, and probably, and, you know, will. I think, you know, there will be social consequences as far as being ostracized. But then there's some who might want to support that, you know, some among their own want to give extra support to some of these people. So it probably cuts both ways. But yeah, I think this whole event really kind of hit hard everyone across the country, and was a real turning point in a lot of ways. And so we do definitely see some distancing from these people.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to go to the phones now at 800-222-9455. Tom, you are on the line from Danvers, Illinois, if I have that right, outside Bloomington Normal. Well, thanks for calling in.
Thank you. I was wondering about the radio station in Bloomington Normal that sponsored a bus trip to Washington, D.C. for that protest. How do we go about protesting that station's license renewal?
Okay. Interesting question, Tom. And I our producers are fast with the research here. Apparently, somebody named, this is according to our partner station, WGLT in Bloomington Normal, somebody named David Paul Blumenschein hosted an event called the Stop the Steal Bus Trip to Washington, D.C. with Cities 92.9, which GLT described as a conservative talk radio station in Bloomington owned by Great Plains Media. I know, John, you're probably not an expert in FCC licensing, but I don't know if have you seen any legal consequences for people who just sort of organize trips, or is it more for people who are actually in the building themselves?
Yeah, it's really people inside the building. I guess there have been some charges regarding curfew. So these are people who are outside the building who violated the curfew that was initiated by the mayor of Washington, D.C., I think. I think one thing that you're seeing here, and we've seen with other events, is trying to recognize the line between people's, First Amendment rights to express their political views versus breaking the law. And so obviously anybody who opposes the action at a radio station also has those rights and can probably write into the FCC or stop listening to that radio station. But that's up to them. And you're right. I'm not really an expert on the process for that.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned curfew violations, and that calls to mind another case. I mean, there have been some reports that 1 in 5 people charged in the insurrection were either in the military or are veterans. That includes, apparently, allegedly, David Fitzgerald of Roselle, who's a tattoo artist who was arrested and charged with a curfew violation and unlawful entry. He's pleaded not guilty, is set to return to court this summer. Can you talk a little bit about his case and how the timeline of the investigations and how does a case like this move through the federal courts?
Well, I believe Mr. Fitzgerald is actually, I could be wrong, but I think that he has been charged in the District of Columbia. Not so much.
Oh,
in the
interesting.
Federal court,
okay. Okay.
Unless there's been an update to that. But that's been my understanding. So I can't so much speak to his, but you're right. I mean, I think he was among a crowd kind of similar to Mr. Rick Stallings, although I don't think Mr. Fitzgerald was in the building, but was among a crowd of people who were told repeatedly, there's a curfew, it's time to go. And didn't leave and therefore has been charged. So it's hard to say exactly what will happen with that one.
Interesting. So, let me take a moment to reintroduce you. Listeners, if you're just tuning in, we're speaking with John Seidel, who's a federal courts reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times. We're talking about people charged in the Capitol Hill insurrection that took place January 6th, just a few weeks ago. If you want to call in, we're coming to the end of our segment, but if you want to squeeze in one more question, 800-222-9455 is the number. John, the FBI has previously said nothing is off the table in terms of charges for people who participated in this insurrection. I mean, that seemingly could start escalating up to things like sedition, conspiracy, but we haven't really seen anything that serious yet. Is this something that we're still watching for? Where do you think, do you have a sense of where federal prosecutors are now, where they're going on this?
Yeah, well, I mean, like you said, they're not taking anything off the table. And I think that they want to show that there are consequences for what happened. I think for listeners, you just have to look at it practically. Like I said earlier, they started with the low hanging fruit. There's another Chicagoan we haven't talked about who's charged with posting a picture of the sign outside Nancy Pelosi's office to Instagram, and said, you know, I guess it was only up for an hour. He said, "Wow, you guys are good." When the FBI found it, I mean, these are the obvious ones to charge. So they're starting there, but I'm sure that federal authorities are working on building those larger cases, and those larger cases take time to build. May even involve some of these people who have been initially charged, perhaps cutting some kind of deal, telling the FBI what they know. I mean, we don't know how this is going to play out, but that sort of stuff does take some time. And I wouldn't be surprised if down the road we do see larger charges. You got to wonder just how much troubling information is going to come out once those conspiracy charges do come down.
You mentioned the Instagram post. I saw a criminal lawyer tweeting a couple days ago about how maybe not such a good idea to post, you know, social media of your alleged criminal activity. I want to ask about a more serious and possibly troubling case. You've been reporting on an individual named Louis Cipriotti from Chicago Heights. Can you talk about his case? He was not in D.C., but it does relate to the inauguration.
Yeah, Louis Cipriotti, and he's actually being charged. He's being prosecuted in the federal court in Chicago, because you're right, he was not part of the Capitol breach. But Mr. Cipriotti allegedly has for months, I guess even years, been leaving angry voicemails for members of Congress. And apparently in the months leading up to the election and the inauguration, they got more and more disturbing. And finally, I believe it was on December 29th, roughly a week before the Capitol breach, he left a voicemail for a member of Congress from New Jersey who hasn't been identified, which amounted to a direct threat on the inauguration last week. Basically said that, I don't want to repeat all the words. Like I said, there's a lot of profanity involved, but
speaking
basically
of the
said
FCC,
if people think that Joe Biden's going to put his hand on the Bible and walk into the White House, they're mistaken. And made a threat, I believe, to shoot every Democrat who stepped on the White House lawn. So he was arrested about a week before the inauguration, and there was a detention hearing last week in which a magistrate judge in Chicago, Gabriel Fuentes, refused to release him. And, you know, I should say the judge made some interesting comments about the threats themselves. There was an argument made that the inauguration is past now, there's not so much of a threat. You know, I'm looking at a memo from the judge right now. He made a point of saying that threats like those harm people. They terrorize people. They affect the safety, security, and well-being of people. They induce fear. So the judge found that the threat in and of itself was a harm.
Yeah, there was a similar case, reminds me, out of central Illinois, where a man from Rochester, which is a small town near Springfield, had made a threatening voicemail for Congressman Rodney Davis. He ultimately ended up receiving probation and was ordered to undergo mental health counseling. Just a minute or so left. I wonder if you, something that seems to be a common thread of people who have made public statements about charges, that they were supporting the president or were following his instructions. I wonder, is that something you're seeing from people? Is this reflected in the federal charges? I mean, does this in some way give credence to the idea that former President Trump, you know, might have legally incited people to participate in the insurrection?
You know, I'm not so much seeing that among our group of Illinoisans so far, but I definitely am seeing reporting on that suggesting that a quote-unquote Trump defense could be common among a lot of the people who are charged, basically saying that they believe they were authorized to be at the Capitol because the president invited them there. That's why they, you know, didn't hesitate to put things on social media, et cetera, which is now being used to prosecute them. So again, we haven't seen that among our group yet, but I think that is something that's going to be argued in court. And if you're a defense attorney, you're going to give the best defense to your client that you can.
John Seidel has one of the most interesting beats in Illinois news reporting. He's the federal courts reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times. We've been talking about people charged in the Capitol Hill insurrection on January 6th. John, thanks so much for being with us today on the 21st.
Thanks for having me. Take care.
Listeners, coming up, we are going to be shifting gears, talking about police, campus police in particular, and calls among some to abolish or defund campus policing. This is happening across the country. It's also happening right here in Illinois at the University of Illinois, the Urbana campus, the Chicago campus. We're going to talk about that movement coming up after a short break. You're listening to The 21st. Stay with us.